This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Blair Walsh from 27 yards left hash. Snap good, spot down. Walsh's kick is up, and it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that. He missed it left. And the Seattle Seahawks are off to Charlotte. Blair Walsh missed a 27-yard field goal, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to lose 10-9.
All right. Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. I'm your host, Adam Patrick. I'm the editor and lead writer for the Viking Age. And as always, I am joined by Chris Shad, who writes for us here at the Viking Age, as well as Bring Me the News and Zone coverage. Before we start today's show, make sure to like this video and subscribe to our channel if you are watching on YouTube. And if you are already, we appreciate that. And also make sure to follow the Viking Age on Twitter and on Facebook. All right, today is episode 3 of our rewatchable series that we have been doing this summer because there is nothing going on, really, in the land of Vikings. So we're taking this opportunity to look back at the good and the bad now because today we are going to talk about the infamous Vikings playoff loss to the Seahawks in 2015, which most people just refer to as the Blair Walsh game or the Blair Walsh miss game or whatever. So
the shank at the bank is what Tom Schreier calls it.
That's so perfect.
That's what I go with.
That's perfect.
Sketchy. Makes you laugh a little bit.
So you just like the Minneapolis Miracle episode that we did first in this series, and if you haven't seen that or heard that, go check that out. That's in our feed. You were there, Chris, for this debacle. Just what are some of your quick memories or initial thoughts when you think about this game and what happened when you went there?
Well, for it starts with the quest to buy tickets because this was the first playoff game I had ever been to. I had never been to a Vikings playoff game. The closest I had been was December 24th, Christmas Eve, 2004 against the Packers. That was pretty much the most intense Vikings game I've ever been to because the NFC North division title was on the line. So kind of going into it, I'm like, yeah, there's no way we can get it. And this is a special playoff game because it's the only playoff game or home playoff game in Vikings history, I should say, that was outside at TCF Bank Stadium. So I thought, you know, people are going to go. Everybody likes this team. They just won the division at Lambeau Field the week before. There's no way I'm getting tickets. I log on Monday and I look at StubHub and the tickets are like $30 in the upper deck because it's going to be -9. So like nobody wants to sit out in that. And like, you know, a couple of days passed, it was still pretty cheap. I don't remember how much we actually wound up paying. Maybe it was a little bit more, but me and Jerry, who I've mentioned on the show before, were just like, let's do it. Like, when else are you going to have an opportunity to do a Vikings game outside, a home Vikings game outside in the playoffs? So we went, we bundled up. And like for me, like the cold, some people get in the cold and it's like the Dumb and Dumber scene.
You're used
where,
to it.
I mean, you know, they put the peppers on the burger and they eat it and they're like spraying ketchup and mustard in their nostrils. Mm-hmm. Like me, I would rather be cold than hot. I can't do anything about hot. Like I can't walk around naked. If it's cold, I could just throw another layer on. And I had a lot that day.
Yeah.
So we go to Blarney's, I think it might be Blarney's or Barney's in Dinky Town. Some U of M graduate can help me out there. But we went there before the game and we were just sitting there like just kind of yucking it up. And I kid you not, one of the things we talked about was like, yeah, you know, everybody's freaking out over how cold it is. Bud Grant would show up in a t-shirt, right? And we're going back and forth. Well, as you know, Bud Grant showed up in a t-shirt for the coin toss.
And everybody polo.
Crazy. A polo shirt that's warmer, apparently. Bud Grant, man, that was pretty awesome. And the other awesome part was going into the concourse and getting my usual two beers to watch a Vikings game, setting one down on the bleachers, drinking one, picking the other up, and having it be completely slushy. Rock solid. Yeah. So yeah, it was not even a slushy. I could drink a slushy. Yeah. It was rock solid. $10 rock solid brick in case. Well, I mean, I probably needed it at the end of the game, but
did they sell anything like any hot chocolate with like Bailey's in it or anything there? Did they do that?
they did not.
They should have.
They did not. I mean, the U had been against selling alcohol for a long time. It took them forever to get alcohol at TCF Bank Stadium. They used to sell beers at the Metrodome when the Gophers played there. But when they opened the new stadium on campus, it took about 3 or 4 years to finally get beer there. And then finally, you know, it started as cans. And I haven't been to a Gopher game in a while, so I don't know if it's like on tap anymore. But that's one of my goals this year is to hit up a Gopher game because they should be pretty good this year. Side note. But
yeah, so this game took place on Sunday, January 10th, noon kickoff. So like the temperature that it was as warm as it could have been that day, really. So it was -6 officially with a wind chill of -25. So yeah, Bud Grant just walking up.
It wasn't that bad in the sun, believe it or not.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
If I were sitting in that stadium in 3 hours in the shade, I would have hated my life. I would have wanted to die when
because it was pretty. It said the wind was 12 miles an hour, so it was a little breezy too, right?
I trust me, I couldn't handle the wind because the layers and some other elements, but yeah.
Yeah, so the Vikings were 11-5, taking on the 10-6 Seahawks, and you mentioned the game was played outdoors at TCF Bank Stadium, University of Minnesota's home stadium, because US Bank Stadium was still in the process of being built. And if you watch the broadcast version of this game, they show a bunch of aerial shots of US Bank Stadium, which was pretty close to being done when this game was played. But obviously, they played outside their first outdoor game, I think, since the old Met Stadium was open. Overall, playoff game. Yep. Overall, there wasn't much action really in this matchup, and I think the weather had a lot to do with it. It was mostly a defensive battle. The Vikings went into the half with a 3-0 lead, thanks to Blair Walsh's 22-yard field goal. Then in the third quarter, Walsh hit a 43-yarder and a 47-yarder to put the Vikings up 9-0, which kind of felt like a blowout at this point in this game. But then things started to kind of happen in the fourth quarter. The Seahawks executed a 80-yard drive that ultimately resulted in Wilson throwing a 3-yard touchdown pass to Doug Baldwin. I believe this was also the drive when the snap went over Russell Wilson's head and he had to scramble around. And looked like he was going to lose like 30 yards, but he threw it to Tyler Lockett and almost got to the goal line. So that was super fun. Then on the very next drive after the Seahawks scored, Minnesota running back Adrian Peterson fumbled the ball inside Vikings territory, and Seattle was able to turn that turnover into 3 more points and take a 10-9 lead. So the Vikings got the ball back on their own 39-yard line with less than 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And Minnesota quarterback Teddy Bridgewater was able to lead the Vikings all the way down to the Seahawks 9-yard line, which was helped by, I think, a long catch by Kyle Rudolph. And he also got a long pass interference called on him as well. Well, called against the Seahawks, but on coverage of Kyle Rudolph. So those are the two big plays that set up this this potential game-winning field goal attempt on the 9-yard line, which was 27 yards away for Blair Walsh. But as we all know, Walsh shockingly missed the kick wide left, and Seattle escaped the field goal with the victory. What Chris, would you call the Walsh miss? The, you know, as much as it sucked, but like, is that like the most rewatchable moment from this game? The moment that everyone remembers pretty much?
Unfortunately, I mean, the Russell Wilson play. Yeah. That you talked about before that was pretty memorable. I mean, that's one of the things that I can remember is just him running around like crazy, like, oh my God, we got him. And then he winds up throwing that long bomb. You know, the Blair Walsh thing, it's got to be it. That's what the game is known for, because there's no action in the rest of the game. The whole game is centered on that kick. And sitting there in the stadium, it was quite a experience, because like I don't know if you like watch war movies, you know, when the bomb goes off and like all you hear is like ringing and whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, and like people are like screaming at you, but you can't really hear
them. Your ears are plugged.
That's what it felt like when Blair missed, mm-hmm. because I was sitting there and like, I remember, I think I told this during the Minneapolis Miracle rewatchables that we did. Sitting there, I thought the Vikings had taken the lead. I mean, Teddy led him down the field. Yep. Granted, he had some help from the Seattle defense on that big pass interference penalty, yep. that put them into field goal range. Yep. And, you know, Blair Walsh was money that day. He was 3 for 3 going into that kick. So obviously you fear the worst with Vikings kickers. Walsh had some struggles earlier that season. But, I mean, everybody assumed it was going in. So I was sitting there like, mentally preparing myself just to let everything out in that final stanza or whatever. And I looked up, I saw the kick, I thought it went in, and I looked down kind of getting ready to go. And Jerry grabs me by the shoulder and he just goes, "Chris, he missed." I'm like, "What?" And then like a 27 yard field goal. I'm like, "No, he didn't miss." And I look around and like I said, like you just like that really like weird thing. And you looked and like nobody said a word. Like even going into the concourse, like all you could hear was the rustling of snow pants coming together. And then you would hear one guy just scream, "F you, Blair, God," you know, just screaming. And like I'll tell the rest of the story because this is the best part. I mean, it is probably my second favorite game that I've been to next to the Minneapolis Miracle because of what happened after the game. So, I mean, we ran into Seahawks fans and like, most of them were pretty cool about it. Like they're like, "Yeah, we did not deserve to win." But we go back to Blarney's or whatever it's called. And the Packers are playing Kirk Cousins in the Washington football team.
Wow.
And so like the Packers are winning. And Jerry and I are just so mad, like, because we should have won the game. Yep. We are just drowning our sorrows, bellying up to the bar. And all of a sudden the bartender comes over with two beers. And we're like, "Throw it on our tab, whatever." And he goes, "No, this isn't for you guys. You guys aren't paying for this. The table over there bought you these beers." So we turn around, we look, and it's a table full of Seahawks fans. And like, we're just like, "What the hell? Is this a troll?" And like, one of them comes over, he goes, "Hey man, we're from Aberdeen. Like nobody deserves to lose like that. You want to come over and like have some beers with us?" He's like, "You guys looked so sad." So like we went and they were super nice. They bought us beers, they bought us food, they bought us, like they were like over the top nice because their team had just won. And like every other Viking fan in the bar is like going up and screaming at him, like, "Oh, you're a bandwagon fan, huh?" And they're like, "Dude, we flew in from Seattle. Like,
yeah,
chill out." And I'm like, "No, they're super nice. They're being nice to us." So our friend's girlfriend, literally, she was supposed to pick us up. She was driving down from a suburb and she like called us 3 times to get in the car. And imagine that, we didn't get in the car. So she came in to grab our, and we're like, "No, you should hang out with them. They'll buy you drinks too." And like, she drags us out of the bar and we went home and drowned our sorrows some more.
But, yeah, it was tough. I think I mentioned it that I didn't even watch this game. It wasn't I guess it was by choice, but like the timing just didn't work out. I was on my way flying to a resort in Mexico just to be with, you know, my wife and just drink all week. And I get there and I got the game.
You're ready to party.
Yeah. And I get there and they had the game on like in one of the bars. It's on like a big screen. There's even some Vikings fans in there. And I'm like, "All right, cool. Well, I'll just watch it was right in the final drive when I walked in. And I'm like, "Well, just watch the rest of this." And then like they line up for the field goal. And I'm like, "Oh, nice. They're going to win. This is going to be a good week." And then he misses. And I'm like, "Well, good thing, you know, everything's all inclusive because I'm going to take advantage of that." So it was
your finest tequila, sir.
Yes. I did not remember much of that trip. I blame it on Blair Walsh. Now, you know what I think about this game is that Blair Walsh gets way too much of the blame because one, they wouldn't even have had a chance to win if he didn't hit those 3 field goals. The snap was terrible on the kick. The hold was terrible on the kick. You know, did he get like a bad foot on it or whatever? Yeah, maybe, whatever. But like there were also other bad holds and bad snaps on the other field goal kicks that he made. And I just think he got a bad rap for this because, like, the holder just gets away. Like, the holder was Jeff Locke, and I posted a picture of it on my Twitter account that, you know, laces were in. So if anyone, you know, has seen Ace Ventura, you know that laces go out. And people are like, oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And then I found, like, an interview with Adam Vinatieri, who, you know, has made a couple clutch kicks in his life. And he said, yeah, laces are, like, a huge part of not just, you know, how to make a field goal, but, like, the mentality of the kicker. Like, if the laces are in, then that could just throw your kicker off by a lot. So I think Blair Walsh gets a lot of the blame. He stepped up after the game and, like, owned it and, like, talked to the media and everything. And, yeah, he probably felt like garbage, but, like, I think a lot of the players stood up for him, too, because they know they played like garbage as well, because nobody really did a whole lot in this game other than Blair Walsh, for the Vikings, at least, and their defense. They played really well on defense. As far as play-by-play...
Quick question.
Okay, go ahead.
If you don't mind, just you mentioned Ace Ventura, the first one.
Yeah.
Is it a good movie to you? Because I've heard some people say no.
Who said no?
Just like,
maybe it's good because we're around the same age, so we kind of grew up with, like, that movie. So we watched when we were younger, and we're like, oh, this is really cool. And I watch it still now, and I'm like, this isn't as terrible as, like, some of the other movies that I grew up watching, where I watch now, and I'm like, this is just garbage. So I think Ace Ventura still holds up.
Yeah.
The second one's good, yeah.
The second one establishes the character more, not like from a plot, like it. Right. The second one drives the point home, I think, when it comes to Ace Ventura. Like, the first one's good, and then they make the second one, and it's just like, all right, Jim Carrey is this.
Yeah, they just went like,
that's one of his most known characters is Ace Ventura.
They just went all in on the second one. It was just like total nonsense, where the first one was more about like an actual plot, and he was just ridiculous. I think it's a good movie. Yeah, there's a lot of good parts. You know, Dan Marino's in there. Got the dog. They beats up the eagle at the end there. Finkel and Einhorn. Yeah,
Finkel is Einhorn. Yeah. Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel's a man.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Yeah, there's also some parts in that movie where you're like, that wouldn't work today. as far as best play-by-play call goes, I think both of them were good, as far as the radio call and L. Michaels. Paul Allen had one where he was like, you know, it's no good, he missed it, are you kidding me? And, like, the season can't end like this, he missed it. In typical, like, freak out fashion, like Paul Allen does.
Blair Walsh from 27 yards left hash. Snap good, spot down. Walsh's kick is up, and it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that. He missed it left. And the Seattle Seahawks are off to Charlotte. Blair Walsh missed a 27 yard field goal, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to lose 10-9.
And then, you know, the beauty of L. Michaels and why he's regarded as, like, the best or one of the best is that he said, you know, and the kick is no good. And then he paused for, like, a good 30 seconds to a minute where he just let the crowd and the reaction and everything just soak in. And he was just like, wow. And that was really it.
McDermott is the snapper. And the kick is no good! Wow! Go figure.
That's all I need to do, because everyone was natural just in sound. Shock. Yeah,
I'm telling you, the sound in that stadium was something I've never heard at a live sporting event, because it was just shock. Like, all you could hear were the Seahawks players running around. It was like the Timberwolves after the play-in game, where they're all jumping on the table. Like, they looked like they had just, like, gotten off death row or something. Like, Richard Sherman was, like, crying in the middle of the field. Like,
and you had, like,
two
of the total opposite ends of the spectrum, because you had the Minneapolis Miracle, which is, like, deafening sound.
Yeah.
And then you had this game, which the silence was deafening. So, like, you had both experiences.
I would argue the Minneapolis Miracle game. I would argue the last drive New Orleans had was louder than the actual Minneapolis Miracle. They were both loud.
Yeah.
But
like, as far as
New Orleans drive, there was a full stadium. the Minneapolis Miracle
left
because
you're right.
Yes, they were not like me who like blacked out as soon as Remmers had a false start.
They had to beat traffic.
They beat traffic in that snowstorm.
Which never
plenty happened. Of cars when I got outside. Imagine that.
Never happens. What would you say is the turning point of the game was? I picked the Peterson fumble. I think that just
I think this is an easy one. The Vikings, this team was peak Mike Zimmer Vikings. You had a badass defense.
Yeah.
You had an offense that was coming around. And I mean, we could talk about Teddy a little bit later, but I don't pin the loss on him. I don't pin the loss on Norv Turner's bizarre system for the personnel that he had. Mm-hmm. Adrian didn't show up that night. Day.
No, he did not.
He didn't show up. He didn't have a good game.
But they kept giving him the ball.
As far as anything, and my ultimate Mike Zimmer football. When you have a court, who are the top receivers on that team? It was like Mike Wallace.
I think
Greg Jennings was still there.
Jennings
was starting to break out. Oh, Jennings was gone by then, huh?
Jarius Wright.
Charles Johnson.
I don't know if he was healthy. Kyle Rudolph was on there. You had McKinnon. You had Matt Nasiata. It wasn't like Michael Pruitt was out there. It wasn't like a fire-powered offense that, everyone's assuming the Vikings had this year.
And I think Adam Thielen was on the team, but he wasn't all caps Adam Thielen at that point. He was just a special teamer, yeah.
I really enjoyed this version of Adam Thielen. I loved watching him, fly around on special teams and stuff. That was the Adam Thielen. I enjoy him now, but it was just fun to watch because I felt like it was easier to root for him because he was kind of an underdog. Not that it's hard to root for him now, but it was just
he's getting a Disney movie within five years after he retires. But
yeah, the Peterson fumble, that one seemed obvious. It was just it was two plays, drive right after the Seahawks got a touchdown. Their own 27-yard line.
It was just such a weak fumble, too.
It was just
why are you carrying the ball like this? And he's got it out like this, and the ball just goes bloop, flips right up in the air. How many times have they told you?
On the broadcast.
You fumbled 28 times in the second half of the NFC Championship game in 2009. Mm-hmm. You'd think you would have gotten the message, but you can tell I'm getting a little heated by this.
On the broadcast, Chris Collinsworth blamed it on, Pearson wore those, rubber elbow pads. He blamed it on those being slick, and I'm like, no, it's Adrian Peterson. He just fumbles. It doesn't matter what
those would
wearing.
Get harder if you
right
like in when the they, cold
they'd get more
they would
grippy.
Harden up.
Yeah so I was like, unless they're wet, even if they were wet, they'd be frozen. So I didn't understand that explanation. I would say a turning point that kind of is underrated is when Trey Waynes got hurt and he came out of the game, and Josh Robinson had to come into the game, the lockdown corner that Josh Robinson is. And conveniently, the Seahawks scored a touchdown throwing to the person Josh Robinson was covering. And I believe PFF gave Josh Robinson the lowest grade on defense that day, which was a 27. Yeah, 27.3 for Josh Robinson. And he was on the field for 6 snaps. So that's really good. And then after that drive, they were like, okay, Trey Waynes immediately went back in. And they were like, all right, enough messing around. So you could argue that that might have been one, because if Wayne stays in the game, who knows, even if the Seahawks score that touchdown, because I believe he was in coverage on the Lockett play too. I think he was on Lockett when Wilson fumbled and was scrambling around. I think Josh Robinson was the guy on Lockett. So not a good showing for Josh Robinson. I don't think he's in the NFL anymore. I think he was with the Bucks or something, and then
no, he is not in the NFL anymore. I used to call him the Human Torch because he would get burned all the time. I mean, I know that's creative.
Nickname, yeah, but he's really fast. He's really fast, but couldn't cover anybody.
If I remember correctly, I think they let go of Antoine Winfield the season before to have Josh Robinson take over the nickel corner position, and that was just a complete and utter disaster.
It might have been then, or it might have been, I think it's 2013, actually. I think it was Frazier's last year. But it might have had something to do with Josh Robinson, because I think he was on the team as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it was Zimmer related. Underrated impact player for the game. Who would you say? It can be good or bad.
I remember Diggs in this game.
He had a couple good catches.
Yeah, and I think that was the moment. I mean, I was obviously excited about Diggs throughout his rookie season. But, yeah. I mean, to do it in a playoff game, to move the chains as much as he did, you felt like you were on to something there, even though he was a fifth-round pick. I mean, I think, you know, you saw a lot of good things. I think a lot of people were excited about this team and thought they could make a deep playoff run because they were ascending. Most of the times you have a Vikings team get to the playoffs and they're either at their peak form like they were in 2017, or they're like kind of descending. Maybe they lost a couple of games at the end of the year. I know the 2009 Vikings were kind of that way, where they lost an overtime game in Chicago. I mean, what, they were 12-4 that year. So, I mean, you can't really nitpick, but I mean, this team hit its lull in the middle of the season. They got blown away by the Seahawks and they started to ascend. They had a lot of the young players that eventually made up that 2017 team. And I think, you know, leaving that stadium, once all the shock went away, you were like, okay, we're on to something here. We're going to have a really good team. And if Teddy's knee doesn't explode in practice, maybe 2016 turns out a little bit better. Maybe 2017 turns out a little bit better if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't have his knee explode. We don't know what happens when you think about that, because I believe Bridgewater is better than Case Keenum. So
yeah. I don't think anyone thought the Vikings were winning the Super Bowl in 2015, but it was just a tough way to go out. They weren't favored to win against Seahawks. Seahawks were favored like by 4.5 points on the road.
They weren't favored to win the division either. The week before, they go to Green Bay, they beat Aaron Rodgers in his own element, and they come away with a win. Yeah. So,
it was just a tough, like, they could have gone out a different way. Okay. You mentioned
they weren't.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you again, but I mean, they weren't going to beat Carolina in Carolina. Like, Arizona beat Green Bay, went out to Carolina, and got absolutely just boat raced.
Yeah, they would have played. So, they would have played Arizona if they won next, which they lost by 3 a few weeks earlier on that Thursday night game where Teddy got strip sacked. Thanks,
Matt Khalil.
They were in field goal range when that happened, so that was fun. So that could have been, they were capable of beating them. And then the Panthers, I believe the year before, not 2015 but 2014, they blew them out. But the Panthers were just like on a run that year, you're right, where like no one was gonna get in their way except for Von Miller and the Broncos. And the Broncos, who the Vikings also lost by 3 points earlier in 2015. So like, if they win against the Seahawks, who knows what could have happened, but they weren't expected to. You mentioned Diggs. He had 4 catches for 26 yards. I would say
a couple extra Miller Lights made those catches seem a little longer.
No, he had, I think, a couple went for first downs. So that would make more sense. But I would say impact-wise, I would say Adrian Peterson had an impact the wrong way. We talked about the fumble, but he also only gained 45 rushing yards on 23 carries. Like, this was easily one of the worst games of his career. I believe I looked it up in games during his career in which he carried the ball at least 23 times. This game was the fewest amount of rushing yards he gained in his entire career. So he picked the playoffs to do that. So thanks for that, Adrian, who deserves more blame again than Blair Walsh, like, for this loss, because Walsh had all 9 of the Vikings points. So I'm just going to continue to emphasize that, like, Blair Walsh is getting a bad rap for, and I'm one, like, I've ripped on him in the past, like Blair Walsh, like, you know, all those funny memes and everything, but like going deeper into this game and realizing everything, like, now I'm like, he does not deserve even half the blame that he got for this loss. They should not be putting it on his back.
Can we talk about the victory lap though? Like the redemption tour at the elementary school. Because like
what? Oh, the letter.
That was the most That was the most, it made me so angry. Like that happened. And I get it. Okay, the teacher is trying to teach a lesson here, right? And if you're a kindergartner and like a football, it doesn't matter if it's a kicker or like a quality control person. Like if somebody from the Vikings comes in, your head is just spinning. You're like, wow, this dude works for the Vikings, right? But I mean, like it just drove me insane just going there like, it's okay, Blair. You can miss from 27 yards. You know what that was like the equivalent of? Like, think of something really easy at your job. And then, like, if you don't do that, like, all hell breaks loose. For example, I work at a gas station where I have to fill the cooler. Let's say one day I decide not to fill the cans of Pepsi.
And leave the door open.
Yeah, or leave the door open to the cooler. Let's do that. All the milk spoils. We have thousands of dollars of wasted milk, right?
That's a very easy decision.
That is what Blair Walsh did, missing that kick. He basically spoiled God knows how many things. Bets. I don't even know. I'm so flustered. I'm not even thinking about it. But like, just to see him, just like, it's okay, Blair. I made you this crayon drawing. And oh, thank you. And like, you know, it's just.
It's the Minnesota Nice. So it is, right?
I hate it here.
Some unanswerable questions. We talked about this a little bit, like how far do you think the Vikings would have gone in the playoffs if they beat the Seahawks? Do you think they would have made the NFC Championship and then they could have beat the Cardinals in the next round?
Yes.
Yeah.
They almost did a couple weeks ago. I mean, they had a shot. It wasn't a slam dunk, but that, like I said, that defense could have beat anyone, yeah, in my opinion. It was probably, I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was probably on the same level, maybe a little bit lower than the 2017 defense. But I mean, it was peak Mike Zimmer. So I think they would have got to the NFC Championship, but I think you're running into another 38-7 situation in Carolina if you get that far.
I don't want to hear that score ever again in my life.
Unless you want to put the football next to Cam Newton's feet, he's not going to pick
it
up.
Right? But. No. I think they would have beat the Cardinals because the Cardinals played the Packers, and that was that like crazy overtime game where the Packers had the Hail Mary to Jeff Janis as time expired. They went to overtime, and the Cardinals won. Did Carson Palmer get hurt in that game, or did he get hurt early in the Panthers game? He might have got hurt in the Packers game.
Yeah.
Because I know he didn't play a whole lot against the Panthers.
Panthers.
Let me see. Nah. Yeah, because that would have made a difference too. No, he played. He didn't get hurt against the Packers. So did he get hurt against the Panthers? This is great research. Live research.
I am seriously trying to think of something to say right now.
No, he didn't.
There we go. I did my job.
He didn't even get hurt. He just played terribly. Carson Palmer played in the NFC Championship. He had one touchdown, four interceptions, 43.2 passer rating. So I thought that was the one where he got hurt. Because wasn't there like a NFC Championship where like John Skelton was playing? I think. I don't remember. But he just played terribly. Another unanswerable question for you would be, is Mike Zimmer viewed differently if the Vikings win this game?
I don't think – it depends on how far they go,
right?
Like, it just depends on how far they go in the playoffs. If they, you know, win this game and they go get blasted in Arizona, you know, we don't even think about this game. Like, it's nothing. It's just a cool story. Like, hey, I went to a game, it was -9. Not I went to the shank at the bank.
Right.
So I don't really think it has too much on Zimmer's legacy unless like they went on a run and like went to the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl. Because I mean, if you got a Super Bowl appearance on you, you looked last year a little bit harder, even with everything kind of crumbling, and go, okay, this guy took us to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Even if they make the NFC Championship this year, like it's like he took us to two NFC championships. So, like, he deserves at least a little more time.
Save Denny Green, though.
I think there were multiple reasons for his departure, other than his on-field performance. I think it would change this. People always, I feel like, who weren't a big fan of Zimmer, they always bring up like how he has two playoff wins, but one was because of a miracle, and that they kind of discredit that. Well, but they never bring up the fact that this was like a miracle loss. So I think that would kind of help change maybe his narrative and be like, because I think if he had three playoff wins, that would be like the third most in Vikings history as far as coaches go. Because Childress had one, right? Did he have one? Yeah. Tice had one. Frazier had none.
Tice didn't have one.
The moon game.
No, that was sorry.
That was Tice.
Forgot.
You don't want to believe it, but it was Mike Tice. All right, can you turn this game or any part of this game into a multi-part docuseries?
I think if you did one on the Zimmer era, it would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I think somebody like do, isn't it Minnesota or something? Where like they,
you're talking about.
Yeah.
Was it a YouTube?
I think there is a documentary about.
It's called like Wide Left or something.
Yeah. So to answer your question, yes. But
I think you could do just a series on like the different heartbreaks in Vikings history. Because you got this, you got 98, you got 09, you got the Hail Mary Drew Pearson push-off, you got 2017, you got 41 Donut, which I was looking up the other day, and I did not know that there's some certain conspiracy theories about that game, about radio signals being stolen when Sean Payton was on the sidelines for the Giants, conveniently enough. Funny how he's attached to a cheating scandal involving the Vikings.
Story about that game, quick.
Just oh boy,
around that. I we're not gonna watch it, so that's it. But I remember that game vividly. I went over to my friend's house, and my friend's dad was watching the game with us. And it was already 41-0 at that point. And I think they missed a field goal off the upright. And our friend's dad is just very like dry sense of humor, but like kind of grouchy guy. He looks at us slowly, and he goes, "Boys, we've got the mo." Like, it's the middle of the fourth quarter. I don't think they're coming back, man.
Yeah. I think it was 27-0 at the half. I think it was like 14-0 after 5 minutes in the first quarter. It wasn't completely. Well, you can't like blame it completely on like stolen radio signals or whatever, if that's even what happened. But like, there's some
Jason Seahorn, man.
The Giants did not score 41 points at any time in that season, but they conveniently did it in the NFC Championship game. I'm going to raise some questions about that.
They're not the only New York entity to score over 40 lately, though.
New Jersey. Okay. They're not even in New York. Are you talking about the Yankees?
I'm talking about a certain quarterback. But
okay. Oh, yeah. That's funny you say that.
Can we please retire "Got That Dog in Him"? By the way, I don't mean to be the fun police, but like, it's everywhere now. We've had our fun. But
one of my tweets is going viral right now, actually, because I had a little fun with that too as well. We're talking about Zach Wilson and his interest in older people.
He played for the Cougars in college.
Yeah, he did that. We're like, it was a clip from That 70s Show, and it was like they found Eric Foreman, like his girlfriend found underwear in his car, and they thought it was some other girl's, but then it was his girlfriend's mom came in, and then his friends were like, "Oh my God, Eric, you're a god!" And I just put like the handshake emoji with like Zach Wilson and Eric Foreman, and now everyone's just like blowing it up. And I was like, I didn't think it was that good, but I guess it was pretty good.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, should I post my podcast in here? I'm like, no, I'm not going to be one of those people. Is this anyone's, this game, like back to the Vikings loss to the Seahawks 2015, is this game anyone's career highlight? I mean, good or bad?
Blair Walsh.
Yeah.
It's Blair, unfortunately. Like, that's the reason why I think that teacher did that and tried to get Blair Walsh in the classroom. He wanted to show the kids, hey, if you make a mistake, like, don't let it define you. Unfortunately for Blair Walsh, it definitely did define him, because the next year he was shanking kicks left and right. And
yeah. He missed, he's talking about the next year. He missed 8 kicks in 9 games, 4 field goal attempts, and 4 extra points. Not terrible, but
we've seen worse.
Yeah, enough.
Dan Bailey did that in 1 game. Jeez.
It's sad that Blair Walsh is going to be remembered for this moment, because no one's going to remember he was amazing as a rookie, like as a kicker in 2012 when he made 35 of 38 field goals, including all 10 from at least 50 yards away. That's an NFL record for most field goals made from 50 yards away without a miss. And he was a first team all pro as a rookie. Like, he was really good. Now, they played indoors in 2012, so I'm sure that made a big difference. But still, he was really good as a rookie, which was also surprising, because in his senior season at Georgia, he missed 14 kicks. He missed 14 kicks at Georgia, and Rick Spielman's like, nah, we're going to draft him.
Let's go.
14 kicks.
This will work with Zim. Yeah, well, actually, yeah. Well, Zim wasn't there at the time, but yeah.
Yeah. Great, 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 great selection, Rick. That's as far as some random research and stuff that I got. I've got this was the only time the Vikings and Seahawks ever met in the playoffs. We mentioned that they played earlier in the season when the Seahawks beat the Vikings. Interestingly enough, 38-7. In week 13, in which Adrian Peterson rushed for 18 yards in that game, so he was even better in that game. What else? We mentioned Blair Walsh. Blair Walsh played for the Seahawks in 2017, so, you know, life came full circle. He was cut after 9 games with the Vikings in 2016, when they brought in, before the week before he was cut, they brought in 6 kickers, the Vikings did, to audition for the team. Can you name any of the kickers that they brought in? Oh, obviously, you know which one probably won the job, but I got all the names right here. Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay.
You got to go.
Gary Anderson.
No.
Ryan Longwell. Did they dig him up?
No, that probably wouldn't have been a bad idea. I don't think you're going to get it. Some pretty random dudes. It's Randy Bullock, you know.
Heard of him.
Marshall Cohn, Aldrick Rojas, Zach.
All right. He was a Pro Bowler later, right, too, right?
Right, right.
My voice squeaked there. But
Zach Hocker and Travis Coons, which I think were like rookies or something. And after his season with the Seahawks in 2017, Walsh had brief stints with the Falcons in 2019 and with the Seahawks. Not the Seahawks, but the Saints last season. The Saints signed him before the playoffs. Did they make the playoffs last year? No. The year before they signed him, before the playoffs. Because they were worried about, you know, if their kicker went on the COVID list or whatever. So they want to have some emergency just in case. And I mentioned that he missed 14 field goals as a senior at Georgia, and the Vikings still used a draft pick on him. They did not care that he missed 14 field goals.
It was like a fifth round draft pick too.
21 of 35. How? Yeah. Okay. I don't understand how you even draft him after that. Like, I don't know. But that's all I got. Like, it was. I'm looking back, like, how I missed this live. I'm not too sad, because I watched it and I was like trying to stay awake at times, just because it was like there was nothing really going on until like the fourth quarter. It kind of felt like that. That Ravens Vikings game in the snow when like nothing happened and they scored like 40 points in the final like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's kind of how this felt. Obviously less points, but I wasn't too sad that I missed this. I just come away from it saying that I think Blair Walsh gets too much of the blame. You can blame the long snapper. You can blame Jeff Locke. You can blame Adrian Peterson more. for this loss than Blair Walsh, because without Blair Walsh, they wouldn't even had a chance to win this game. So that's my final thoughts on this game. You have any final thoughts?
Like I said, second most fun I've ever had at a Vikings game, yeah. Despite the result. I mean, it's a memory that I'll always remember. It's a cool little icebreaker. Just like, yeah, I was there. And then they're like, yeah. Really? And then telling them the Seahawks fan story, mm-hmm. and Bud Grant and everything else. Like, you know, it was cool to play at the bank for 2 years. Huntington Bank Stadium, as it's now called. It was cool to play right there. I went to a handful of games there. Cool to be outside. Love US Bank Stadium now, but you know, it's a different experience. It's something I could say to people. Like, I've been to a playoff game outside in Minnesota cold, and I don't know. What can you do about it, right? It's the Vikings.
All right. I think the fire alarm's going off in my apartment, so I gotta go. Make sure you follow the Viking Age on Twitter and Facebook, subscribe to the show on YouTube, and like this video, but I gotta go. So we will talk to you next time, which should be on Thursday. So until then, Chris and I will talk to you later.